Scott Goodyear joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Hey, Scott, thanks a lot for doing this. Obviously, largely good news, real good news on James Hinchcliffe. But talk to me a bit about this this Holmatro safety team that James Hinchcliffe, you know, has made very clear that he's crediting these guys with you know, making the best of a really bad situation.
Jeff, good morning. Yes, they are absolutely the best. And one thing that IndyCar does that other racing series do not, including NASCAR, is they have a dedicated crew that not only works here at Indianapolis, but also goes on the road. No matter where the event is, not only in North America, they come to the Toronto Indy. And also, they were with me when I crashed in Brazil when I was driving, and I broke my back. And, it, you know, the guys from America were there. They helped, assisted. They know the drivers. They know the families. And, you know, they've got a file on you. So they know exactly, for instance, I broke my back a second time in my career. So when they got to the car, they were very cautious, knowing that, you know, this guy might have the same type of injury. So absolutely, certainly saved James' life the other day.
Now, are we talking about, are they all doctors, or are they a combination of doctors and you know, physiotherapists and firemen? I mean, whatever, you know, they're basically first responders for IndyCar. What background do they have?
They are first responders in many different functions. There's four different vehicles that arrive at the scene. And just to give you a quick indication of that, one safety one actually has a computer on board, and it's getting real-time telemetry from all the cars, not only from the impact from the black box for the car itself, much like an aircraft, but also they have ear accelerometers in the driver's earpieces, so attached to their ears. They can also see the G-loading that the driver sustained when he crashed. So when a multi-car crash, for instance, happens, like we've had previously, they'll be able to see with the first car with the highest G loading, and they know to respond to that car first, second, third, or what have you. In Jane's situation, the responders that get there, and it's the same at every event that we go to, we have fire and rescue that are at the top of their field in multiple trucks. We actually have the firemen there that are obviously there to put out flames if that's the problem. We have first-level doctors. We have trauma doctors, and we also have surgeons on-site traveling to each and every event that we go to. So, for instance, Dr. Terry Trammell, who was the chap that worked on my back twice, was the first responder when I crashed in Brazil back in the 90s in a kart car, and it gives you great feeling that you know that they are there to help and assist.
In conversation with Scott Goodyear on the Jeff Blair Show, it's too early to talk about this, but we know that James is not going to be racing in the immediate future. Scott, how difficult is it going to be for him to get back into a car after a serious injury like this? And using your own experience as a backdrop, because at some point. At some point you're back in and you're going real fast and you're kind of back in the situation you were in before.
Well, you are, but you know, when you are younger, and I'm going to say this in two phases here. When I've had multiple crashes and I'm one of the guys walking around with steel and screws in myself. But when my first crash happened around James' age, you are so anxious to get back into it. You are, once you feel like you're able to do it, then you want to go do it. The next time I was in my late 30s and the doctors were telling me what I needed to do, and you're going, you tell me whatever needs to happen, I'll take whatever you tell me and I'll be in no hurry. James will be in a hurry because of his young age to get back in the car. He has probably another decade of driving ahead of him. Loves motor racing, as you guys know, born and raised in Toronto, and has done such a great job no matter where he's raced in the world. It will be mentally tough. At first, you have to get through the physical part. As you're laying in the hospital bed, as I have, probably in the same hospital that he is down here in Indianapolis, it plays on you mentally, but it plays on you mentally differently because you want to get up and get going. You feel like you're leaving something on the table, and you do question whether or not you'll be back to the same level that you were previous to the accident, but most young drivers do return to the same level.
Now, this, Scott, this was, I think, the fifth crash in the week, maybe the fourth, fifth crash in the week. And we know that IndyCar, that they met with Honda and Chevrolet, to determine whether, I guess, the aerodynamic kits that they'd installed in the cars were causing problems. I believe, and again, this is just sort of my knowledge from watching TV and that the horsepower in these cars was actually eliminated a little bit, or was actually less than what we've seen earlier in the year, yet you still had an accident. Is there something wrong aerodynamically with the cars, and is this something that, you know, that needs to be addressed before too many more accidents happen?
Probably really yes to all those questions. And when I say that, what they do here in qualifying at Indianapolis is give the engines more boost because they're turbocharged engines. The guys get about 50 more horsepower. Cars go 6 or 7 miles an hour faster. We started to run into problems, not because of the increased boost or horsepower, but because of the new aerodynamic kits this year. The crashes that were caused were not caused by the aerodynamic kits that they put on.
Okay.
But the result of the cars then hitting the wall and going backwards, the cars started to get into the air, which I'm sure you've seen the video for. And that is a result of the new aerodynamic pieces. Helio Castroneves had a setup problem. Joseph Newgarden had a tire going down. And, you know, so they weren't causing, the crashes were not caused by the aero kits, the end result of the cars getting in the air were. In James's situation, his car had a suspension piece failure, which they call the rocker arm, which is a suspension piece on the right front corner. And I tell you, Jeff, it could not have happened at the worst spot than it did. He was already going down to the center of the turn, which we call the apex. He was doing probably 227 miles an hour, and by its arm, the car got to impacted the wall. They're estimating it was at 220 miles an hour. Now, we just gave praise to the safety crew. We also have to give praise to the car manufacturer, what IndyCar has done, and Indianapolis Motor Speedway has done to make things safer. IndyCar with the chassis and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for designing over a decade ago what they call the safer barrier, and it's a steel and foam energy-absorbing item that goes in front of the concrete wall. It's now been applied to all NASCAR tracks. NASCAR adopted it, and it was terrific because the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Holman George family over 10, 12 years ago paid for this invention, and it's now saving drivers' lives.
Scott, listen, it was great to talk to you again, you know, to the NASCAR family and to all the people who know and deal with James on a daily basis, and certainly his friends and family. We extend our best wishes, and like I said, I know a lot of us who were watching that probably, we thought about the other Canadian drivers we've had and a couple of Canadian drivers we've lost, and it's really great to talk to you, and again, the conversation's been very enlightening, and thank you so much for doing this.
Well, I appreciate it. James is healing. He'll be back in the car, I'm sure, next year. And he, like everybody else, will be watching us on ABC on Sunday afternoon for 99th running in the Indy 500. And we'll see you guys in Toronto.